In these texts by Eucherius of Lyon, we can see how the tradition that was described by Cassian is applied, appropriated, and turned almost into a system of biblical exegesis and also into a body of conventional allegorical interpretation that is bequeathed from generation to generation, particularly within the monastic tradition, but more broadly for Christianity, for especially in the West, those who are seriously interested in finding God in the biblical text. Eucherius knows Cassian in detail. He's writing only a couple of decades after Cassian himself was writing, and Eucherius is using Cassian's texts and applying them. Let's see what he does with them. If you drop down in this text, you'll find that he says that these are what he calls formulae of spiritual knowledge. The following knowledge is meant to bring the teaching of the divine scriptures easily to mind. This is a method of being able to have a kind of an instant access, a kind of a brief verbal icon, almost in the modern sense of a computer icon, which, as it were, we click and gives us a deeper access to deeper meanings. It's as if these are shorthand formulas for deeper meanings. Now, as we'll see in the next section on monologistic prayer, Cassian in his ninth, but particularly in the 10th conference, uses the word formula to refer to a particular prayer phrase which we hold and repeat in the heart as a part of our ordinary ongoing spiritual discipline. It is possible that that is something of what Eucherius means by that, that we can take simple images drawn from the scriptures and allow them to become for us formulae, condensed forms of deeper meaning. We realize or remember when we hold a verse that contains, say, an image involving the hand of God, what the biblical or allegorical or mystical meaning of the hand of God really is. And so if we're meditating on this, this deeper meaning comes to mind. It's as if these formulae, these what we'll see are really kind of glossary definitions of spiritual meanings for terms that recur throughout the scriptures, also provide ways of meditating on the text that gives it a kind of a brightness and a vibrancy. It's as if people are saying now, these are ways in which our Christian forebears have found deeper meanings in these images. They're meant, he says, to bring the teaching of the divine scriptures more easily to mind. If we drop down to the highlighted text in several paragraphs down, he says, the scriptures themselves protect the heavenly mysteries by cloaking them, just as divinity itself works in its own mysterious ways. So we are going to provide, he says in these texts, a way of uncloaking, a way of giving the deeper meaning in the text. Notice how in what follows then, and I've got it highlighted in red numbers, that there is number one, a body, soul, and a spirit of scripture. He identifies, and these are obviously Origen's senses, the body is the letter, the soul, he says, is the moral sense, and the spirit is an analogy, it is a form of superior understanding, which he then says in the next paragraph, this has to do with a natural division within within natural philosophy, within what we're taught as we learn what then were called the natural sciences, that there is the natural order which the universe holds, a moral order, and a reasoning, a rational element that pertains to what God has taught. And then, dropping down further, there's a fourfold method which he takes directly from Cassian of history, which tells us the truth of deeds, tropology, which involves the correction of life, changing what we are doing, anagogy, which means leading secretly to the heavenly figures, the heavenly images, and he tries to say that allegory is a fourth category that has to do with what is often called a typological understanding of the scriptures, where a symbol or an image in the Old Testament prefigures or hints at something that will happen in the New. That, for him, is one way of understanding allegory. He repeats himself again with a kind of an illustration of this. History has to do with heaven, The heavenly types or image, the heavenly life has to do with tropology. We are invited to lead the life of heaven even now on earth through behaving in an ethical way. Baptismal water is a kind of a allegory of which one finds many images of in the Old Testament, especially in the crossing of the Red Sea. And angels, or the image of the angelic, has to do here with anagogy. These are illustrations for him of these multiple levels, which he gets clearly both from Origen and from Cassian. So if you drop down to the preface, I've only given some portions of this book as illustrations. He describes the members, or the, if you will, the physical attributes that are described, that God is described as having in the scriptures, and he's going to give mystical meanings for them. But you can see that he also has other books, other sections that have to do with names and titles of God, or animals that are found in the scriptures, various words and names, Jerusalem, and then a whole section, Book 10, on numerology. So that when one encounters these things in the scriptures, one can perceive a deeper meaning within them. That is, if one's own meditation or reflection on these texts is not always as rich as it might be, one can now use Eucarius's kind of compilation of traditional understandings of these things, which he's drawing from a whole variety of sources, mostly directly or indirectly from people like Origen and the Cappadocian Fathers to some extent, depending on how these sources were cited in the Latin text with which he was familiar, and certainly within Cassian himself. So dropping down to, as an example, the section, the members of the Lord, he says that the inner meaning of the ears, of the eyes of the Lord and the ears of the Lord are, the eyes of the Lord have to do with the divine examination. And this is his method, and he gives you a biblical text that justifies this. So the eyes of the Lord have to do with God examining us. When the phrase ears of the Lord, that has to do with God hearing us when we cry to him. The mouth of the Lord reflects to God's conversation with human beings. When the word of the Lord is used, this, he says, refers to the Son of God, to the Word of God, God the Word. The arm of God, which is an image that recurs in the prophetic literature and in the wisdom literature, he says, is the Son. Christ is the Son of God. The right hand of God is like the arm. It's a reference to Christ, to the Lord. The womb of the Lord is the hidden place of God from which he brings forth his Son. And so on and so forth. You can see that each of these texts is an image or a kind of a phrase that is found often, especially within the Psalms. Remember that the Psalms are being used daily by Christians, especially by monastic Christians, but also by others as well. This kind of text that Eucharius is providing would enable people to find in these images that recur within the Old Testament text a deeper spiritual meaning. He's passing on a kind of a convention of allegorical, or in some cases of anagogical interpretation that can be applied to the biblical text. And these kinds of glossaries became the basis for Christian experience of the scriptures in subsequent centuries, and also the basis for a kind of a conventional approach to mystical or allegorical or typological interpretation, and Eucharius is just one of the first compilers of these kinds of what we might call spiritual glossaries. Feel free to look at the remainder of the text on your own and to see ways in which these images are, these terms are applied to biblical texts. And imagine, if you will, Christians who would then encounter these texts, these terms, these words in a regular way in their own praying of the scriptures, how this would then give them a spiritual meaning or a way of looking up from the text into the presence of God.